Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay. We're going to strap in here. I have my, let's see, because Sarah, you are probably, I've done this for over a year. You're probably my 10th producer so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm either a egomaniac and a very high maintenance person, or I don't know what's going on, but I go through producers like a milkshake in the summer.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted. And of course, they live forever. And proof of that is that in addition to every Monday, a new episode being posted, I have a landing page, whatever the hell that is. And all previous podcasts live on the landing page. And as I've said many times before, I'm confident enough right now that, yes, Elton Jim is binge-worthy. So go back there and hit the Elton Jim Captain Podtastic prompt, and you can get all previous 69 episodes and more to come. So as I said at the beginning there, as usual, for some reason, now this is just temporary, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I'm working with yet another producer today. Because Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
You can turn that music down so we could talk as you're on the same thing. There you go. So as I said, because Sarah, I believe that you may be like the 10th producer in a year.
Are you that bad? Or are you?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm bad. I don't know if I'm good. I don't think I'm a taskmaster. I mean, we've only met, what, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Do I seem that my demands are?
No. They seem pretty. They seem doable.
Doable?
Yeah.
I'm not a. I didn't come in here with a whip.
No.
I said hello to you.
Yeah, you spoke first. That was nice.
Yeah.
You
I didn't
manners.
Ignore
yeah.
you.
Right.
I'm talking to you now.
Exactly.
Treating you as a peer.
Yes.
Even though you're not.
No.
No.
Not at all. Too young to be a peer.
See, well, there you go. Right away. Maybe that's why. Maybe now I know it. No, no. But, I mean, I have gone through these producers, and it's not really any of my doing. It's just that there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things, and people leave, and they get transferred to different things and different time slots, and people's, you know, radio is a very fluid business, and so I just find it funny. But so far, I've always enjoyed everybody I've worked with, and Kevin is the current producer, but who knows? We will, you know, as I said, radio is always an ever-changing business. So that's where we're at right now. And I'm certainly an example of that. So a few things I wanted to talk about today. Everybody is buzzing this week, even though this will be posted on Monday. But as I said, it lives forever out on the internet. But there is a lot of excitement over the last several weeks, let's put it that way, about the new iPhone. The iPhone. And there's already controversy. Is it the iPhone X or is it the iPhone 10? Now, from what I understand, officially, when it was announced in Cupertino at the Apple, at the new, I guess, the new spaceship Apple headquarters that they built out there, this new high-tech, beautiful-looking new headquarters building, they called it the 10, as we know from our Latin, because we all took Latin in high school. You know, X means 10. But I think a lot of people already, they're seeing the X in print and they're hearing it. And so they're already saying iPhone X. But officially, the Apple people use iPhone 10, which makes sense. Because as we know, as the iPhones have come out every year, it's iPhone 4, iPhone 3. It's not iX V1. It's just that the X is there, and everybody sees the X. And to be honest with you, iPhone X sounds pretty cool, as opposed to just 10. And the fact that the highest level, the most expensive one, is actually, which I want to talk about here, is at $1,000. I guess the iPhone X sounds a little cooler than 10, and maybe should, considering the price. But I will show this to Kassara. If you don't mind me asking, I would assume you're in your 20s?
Yeah, I just turned 22.
22?
22.
I don't even remember when I was 22. My God, 22. You're a babe.
Yeah, I'm a young one.
My goodness. So this is just so, I like to verify, because once again, this is radio. People can't see. What am I holding up here?
You're holding up a flip phone.
That's of my flip phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's your flip phone.
That's my flip phone.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. She's already going, wow. Now I know why this guy's been through 10 producers.
No. My mom. Hey, my mom just got rid of her flip phone.
Okay, but see, that's not a compliment. You're comparing me to your mom.
What I'm saying is you're not alone. Hey, my mom is young and hip.
Oh, very good.
You're not alone.
I bet you your mom's younger than I am. That's how depressed I am at this point. 22. But yeah, so just so people know, because I have spoken about my flip phone on many occasions, and I've taken photos of it and posted it with the podcast, but I just want people to verify I'm not BSing.
Yeah.
This is my phone. There's no other phone here.
The phone. Flip phone all day, right?
Flip phone. And as I've said many times, in a few years, everyone's going to have one of these. You're going to like, you'll be 24 and you'll go, wow, that's pretty cool. I remember this really weird guy had one of those. He predicted that people would want one of these.
I honestly miss having a flip phone.
Well, see?
Like I do.
See?
And I think the number one reason why is for the effect of hanging up on someone in the middle of a phone call.
Oh, really? Why? Is it easier?
Because if you have a touchscreen, like if you're in the middle of a heated argument, you have to bring your phone away from your ear and wait for your screen to come back and press end. It's not effective.
Oh, you can't just hang up.
Right.
Boom.
Phone, when you're done, flip it down and that's it.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean if I flip this down, it'll hang up?
Yeah, that ends the call.
See, I've had this for 3 years. I never knew.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a setting, but I mean, all phones do it. Yeah.
And plus, it to your point, it also gives you the effect of a hang up.
Right.
Because
people around you know that you're serious.
I mean, you never grew up with a landline phone, I would assume.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
I have a landline.
Okay. Oh, you do? Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. There in the old days, when you wanted to hang up on someone, you got to hang up, and they may have just heard a click, but you got to slam the receiver down, and that gave you a nice feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Even if the person at the other end just heard the same click as they would if you hung up, but you knew you hung up on them.
Right.
And so, wow. So I never knew that. I'll have to...
Yeah, try it out. Try to call someone and be like, hey, let me see if I can hang up.
Now, what I find interesting is Kassara clearly likes to hang up on people, where this would be a huge benefit for you.
It really is.
I don't know. I don't really hang up on that many people, but clearly you've got some aggression issues.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Holy smokes. So, right away, right off the bat, I haven't even started my diatribe against the smartphone, and I've already found a new reason why I should love my flip phone.
Yeah.
As I've said many times, my flip phone is more. I have too much. I have too much in this phone. This phone is too much for me. It offers me way more than I need. And that's the whole point of kind of my initial discussion here. So everybody's going to be talking about this iPhone. It's becoming out in a few weeks, and there's going to be lines, for the new iPhone, and you're going to see it on the news and all that stuff. And my gosh, at this point now, it's $1,000. And now that's the high end. I understand that. But even the more affordable price, when it's still $699 or $799. And what I think is brilliant about Apple, you cannot argue with how they have marketed themselves, marketed their brand, and marketed both their products and specifically the smartphone. It literally has changed not only the industry of technology, It's changed our culture. It's changed our behavior in only 10 years. It's unbelievable. All you have to do is go into a waiting room. Go to a doctor's waiting room. Go anywhere you have to wait. Go anywhere where you need to be by yourself, where there's not activity. And even though there is activity, people are obviously on their phones. But go someplace where there's no activity. If you're in a train station or waiting for a bus or anywhere where you have to wait and you have to sort of be within yourself and you look around, everybody's head is down. Everybody's clicking. Everybody's trying. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know what they're looking up. I'd love to read the context of their texts because it has to be absolutely nothing. Gee, I'm bored. Where are you? I guarantee you that's the thing. And I sit there, and I'm not trying to be proud of myself, but I got a flip phone. And I don't even have the internet on this. I can get texts, but I don't have the internet on this. And nobody's really texting me. So I'm sitting there just observing life, looking at the buildings, just reading a magazine. But man, everybody's head is down. It's amazing. In 10 years, what this phone, and really, it took less than 10. Within the 4 or 5, people were addicted and their heads were down. And we've been seeing that kind of behavior. Unbelievable impact and influence.
Yeah, social media.
Well, yeah, and that's what it did. I mean, what the smartphone really did was, more than the internet, it empowered the internet because it made it mobile. Even in the early days of the internet, and I used to work in the technology world. I worked in public relations for 10 years in the tech sector. So I was there in the mid to early 90s when this whole thing was starting. And the difference is in 2007 when this happened with the smartphone was that you still, when you had the internet, you still had to go to a solitary place. You had to go to a box. You had to go to a computer or a desktop or something to access the internet and access everything that you had. But when the smartphone came along, that changed all the rules. Because now you were carrying the power of the internet in your hand 24 hours. But as I said, what Apple has done has been remarkable in how they have marketed themselves and their product. And here's the thing: I'm not. I don't have this flip phone just to make a statement. I'm not. I mean, I embrace technology. I email and I do text every so often, and I use a GPS and I use other technology. I mean, give me a break. You know, I've got satellite television and digital. I mean, I'm not a Luddite here. But what I usually try to do in my lifestyle is to use technology that I feel adds value. And that's usually what innovation and technology has always done. You know, a car was an improvement over the horse. Okay? The airplane was an improvement over the train. Or the boat in terms of travel. Television was an improvement over radio. It added the visual. You didn't need somebody describing it. Now you could see it and actually feel it. You know, the light bulb was an improvement over the candle. Okay, so there was added value there. And once again, as I said, GPS, unbelievable technology. Think about that. I just came back from a trip in Massachusetts, and I mean, just boop, 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 and this thing drove me all over the place. Unbelievable. Anywhere you go. Added value. So I'm not adverse to that. But I look at the smartphone, and certainly there are advantages of it. But a lot of what's happening now is technology for the sake of technology, at least I think. Not that we need to do it, but we can do it. And that's where I think it gets a little superfluous. I'm looking at the new iPhone and what it's adding. And it's going to be $1,000, right? The new smartphone, the iPhone from Apple, $1,000. Even the cheapest one, $6 or $7.99. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to have an upgrade. It's going to be faster, a sharper screen, better battery efficiency, portrait lighting for your photos. Is that $1,000?
I mean, the portrait lighting is important for selfies.
Well, okay. And that's my point, though, for selfies. Okay, once again, I've got my, I don't take pictures with this. Now, I know you do. You're in your 20s, and that is perfectly, but my point is, you know, first of all, I have a problem with it calling it a phone. Yeah. Because it's $1,000, it says here. I didn't see one upgrade in terms of better self, better phone call quality.
No.
Nothing about the phone.
No.
The phone, of which it's called, they need to, first of all, and the only person who could do this, the only company who could do this is Apple, because they developed this. But they need to change the name. It shouldn't be called a smartphone anymore. Smart device, something. It's not a phone. Phone is about 78th on the list of what you use your cell phone for, your smartphone for.
Right.
It's pictures, it's internet, it's Snapchat, MissChat, this chat, that chat, any kind of chat you have. Instagram, Longgram, Shortgram, Telegram, Grandma Moses, I don't know, everything.
I think what's funny about it is, like, I don't have iPhone. I'm an Android.
Oh, I know, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah, so
it's a smartphone.
But I just find it ironic how literally people will voice what they want in the next iPhone, and the iPhone makers won't acknowledge it, but they'll do something next level.
Right.
That no one asked for.
Right. Well, that
no one really cares.
Well, that's my point about you can't, because we can. Now, apparently, this $1,000 one's going to have a heightened retinal recognition.
Yeah, and then it'll do, like, face recognition, yeah, wireless charging, but no one's asking.
No,
that.
This is my point. Now, initially, and of course, there will be some elevated ability to do the new buzzwords in the technology world. There's two key buzzwords. AR and AI, augmented reality, which is like Pokemon, where you can superimpose things into your cell phone with, if you're looking at it, into your reality. So suddenly, you know, the Kanye West or Miley Cyrus or Katy Perry are standing next to you. Or as they said in here in the article, you know, if you're watching a baseball game, you know, statistics that on the batter will be, you know, if you're looking at the field, they will suddenly be imposed. Fine. So there's augmented reality, and then there's artificial intelligence, which is begun. That, if you listen to the tech innovators, the tech CEOs, the tech futurists, those are the two areas. Everybody talks about this Oculus, which is the virtual reality, and that's basically, you know, a part of this augmented reality as well. And so they're trying to bring a lot of that into the phone. And we've seen the first baby steps of that. Everybody talks about the Amazon Echo and Alexa, but you know, I remember about a year and a half ago, a friend of mine tells me, I just got this thing called Alexa. And I'm like, well, what does it do? He says, well, you know, if you're sitting around the house, you can ask, you know, what time it is. Or, you know, you can find out. And I was like, well, can't you look at a clock? Is it going to be so much to turn your head? Don't you have a clock in your house? I mean, I think it's cool. But I don't know if Alexa is really, hey, Alexa, play me this song. Or you could go to your iPod or your thing and click the yes, it's cool, but I don't know. Is it worth $150 or $250? I don't know. Why do we have it? Because we can have it. Do we need it? That's the question that I continue to have here. And so I'm looking at the new iPhone, and I'm wondering, like, for instance, okay, now, you know, people are going to buy it for $1,000. And once again, Apple has done an amazing job of making this product more than just a smartphone, more than just a product. It's a status symbol. It is a, for others, it's a status symbol for yourself. Hey, look at me. I'm cool. I'm trending. I'm hip. I'm, you know, I mean, what's so brilliant, once again, about the marketing is that they make it that a young person has to have it to be cool. An older person has to have it to be relevant. And a 30-something needs to have it to be able to stay up with the Joneses. What do you mean? You don't have the new iPhone? Oi. I don't know if I'm going to go out with you anymore. So, great. You've hit every demographic. The 14-year-old teenager has to have it. because, oh my God, I can't go to school without it, with this iPhone 8. I won't be invited to the next party. The 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 something says, well, you know, hey, look at me. I've got an iPhone. Yeah, I know what's going on. I'm cool. I'm hip. Yeah, okay. Nice try. And as I said, you know, the 30 or 40 something needs that just because, hey, you've got your trampoline in your yard and you've got to have the new iPhone. You got to keep up with the Joneses. But I just wonder, $1,000, where's the threshold? $1,000. That's a lot of money. I know we've devalued money. It's interesting. Today, if you really look around, $100 is really not considered a lot of money anymore. $100 is still a lot of money, but nobody balks at $100 anymore. I mean, you go to some restaurants here in Chicago, you could spend $60 or $70 on lunch. One of my favorite stations on TV is called Buzzer, and it plays the old game shows from the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, Match Game and What's My Line, and I've Got a Secret and Family Feud with the Richard Dawson years and Password and things like that. And it's so interesting. These shows, some of these, like I said, go to the late 50s, early 70s, you know, in early 60s and in the 70s, and you realize how money has been devalued. Some of these people on these shows, they win $300 and they're out of their minds. $300. Today it's like, okay, that's fine. Or $100, they go out of their minds. Or they win $5,000 and you think they won the lottery for $400 million. Because back in the 70s, and What's My Line in the late 50s, early 60s, used to give away $50. That was the grand prize. And people were excited to win that. And if you ever watched the Richard Dawson years of Family Feud from the late 70s and early 80s, those families, there's five people on Family Feud, right? The grand prize when they go up and do the fast money and they get the 200 points, $5,000 you win. $5,000. There's five people. It's a grand apiece. They're jumping up and down like they just won $40 million. They won $1,000. Because back then, even $1,000 was a lot of money. I got news for you, folks. In the mid-70s, most people made 10 grand a year, if that. So if you won 5 grand, you know, if you won, like on Match Game, sometimes you could win $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. That's a year's salary. But nowadays, $100 is nothing. I mean, that has been completely devalued. I still think $1,000 is a lot of money. So this new phone is going to cost $1,000. And up to this point, as I said, excellent marketing. Apple has made it almost a necessity that you upgrade your phone every year. We're at 10, right? It's been 10 years, 10 phones. I'm just wondering, do you buy a new 55-inch TV set every year? Do you buy a new laptop every year? Do you buy a new microwave every year? Do you buy a new car every year? Do you buy a new washer and dryer every year? Do you buy a new refrigerator every year? But you buy a new iPhone every year. And I remember last year, the big innovation last year on the iPhone was more emojis. More emojis. Ooh. I mean, there's more, now there'll be seven different ways to show a sad face as opposed to one. Seven different winks. Seven different tongue sticks outs. Seven different eye squints. I hate to tell you, folks, but really, if you think about it this way, and once again, I'm not condemning the iPhone, and if you have one, more power to you. If you use it, more power to you. But what I am suggesting is, every so often, think about how much time you're spending with it. Because I got news for you. My little flip phone here, Casera, you'll be happy to know this. I found out just the other day that I have an alarm on here.
You didn't know that before?
No.
Oh.
I could use that to like to wake me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wait a minute. You may laugh at my flip phone. I have Tetris and bowling.
Yeah, I know. The games on there are amazing.
And bowling.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that's already two more games than I ever use.
Honestly, the flip phone has all the functions that a regular
I know it does.
Smartphone has. Do you have a calculator on there?
No, I don't. Do I?
Yeah, you have a calculator on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Every basic function that that's just a
well. The best part of function. my flip phone is I could talk on it too. You know, once again, what I use the flip phone for? Accent on the final word there. Phone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Plus, your phone holds a longer charge than any smartphone.
Really?
Possible.
Well, because there's nothing in it.
No, just yeah. Regardless of that, like flip phones,
it does.
Always stay charged longer than regular than other phones do.
But like when I'm at home, I don't even have my phone with like so I would assume people. Yeah, my phone when I'm at home is in a drawer in the kitchen. Half the time, I don't even know if it rings.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even use it. I use my phone, and I'm forced to at times because now people are texting. So, and even I have no, I can't do that whole thumb thing.
Oh, you got to hit like a button three times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, letter. Yeah. And you should see me texting. It takes me 25 minutes to say yes.
Wow.
Just to find the Y, the E, and the S, and the exclamation point.
See, I used to be addicted to texting. When I was younger,
When you were younger. She's 22, folks.
Well, okay, a couple years ago, I had like a legit addiction because like my doctor told me that I had to chill out.
Well, that's my point. I mean, people are addicted. That's, you know, like I said, you know, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. It's fine. Look, you know, I don't have a huge circle of friends. I don't have children. So I understand. There are uses for this in terms of if you're a parent, to text your kids, find out where they're at. If you've got this big circle of friends, if you're in your 20s and you want to be going out and you want to be hip, and I get that. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of uses of this that you think you have. Like, oh, my God, I can't live without my cell phone. Believe me, you can. Because I'm living proof of it. I don't think I'm missing that much. And when I look at the $1,000, and I'm looking at all this kind of stuff, and don't get me wrong, too. There's no doubt that the iPhone and all the apps, you know, this is driving the economy. It's a huge engine of economic power. I'm not denying that. And yes, there are uses. But I'm just here to say to you that life is possible without being connected to this phone 24 hours a day, and life is possible without spending $1,000 on a new phone that you probably don't need. You know, the genius of Steve Jobs was not just the technology of the smartphone. The genius of Steve Jobs was the unleashing of one of our basic human attributes. And that is narcissism. You know, I know it's hard for people, especially younger people, to even understand this. There was a time when it was not cool to show off. There was not cool to be narcissistic. It was not cool to say, hey, look at me. Look how great I am. If you were conceited, that was not a good thing. You were taught to suppress that. And the genius of Steve Jobs and the smartphone was to take the stigma off of narcissism and unleash it and give people the power to say, look at me. Look how cool I am. Listen to me. And through that, you know, the cell phone, and as we said, and even Kassara here today says, well, you know, that portrait lighting, that's important for your selfie. You know what I love? You go to a concert, and this is how they're still so, like, stuck back in the past. On the ticket of a concert, it still says, no cameras or recording devices. What are you talking about? 20,000 people live with a camera and a recording device. What are you talking about? So, and the funny thing is, when I go to a concert, I actually do bring my Canon Elf camera. I actually have a camera. And I'm sitting there going, now nobody's taking it out of my hands when I walk in, but I'm sitting there going, if somebody does, I'm going to say, wait a minute. Are you ready to take the 20,000 cell phones, smartphones out of these people's hands? Because they have better cameras than mine. And theirs isn't even a camera. They've got portrait lighting. I don't have portrait lighting for my selfies and my selfie sticks. I'm surprised that phones don't. I mean, that's the next thing. Why doesn't the selfie actually come with a robotic selfie stick that just...
Yeah, selfie sticks are out of style now.
They're out of style?
I mean...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't see anybody my
Oh, okay.
It's like older people that mainly use them now.
Oh, okay.
They caught on and they
there
like
she goes.
It.
Thanks a lot.
No, once I'm again. Not...
I'm all just right. having fun with you. No, so yeah, no, so selfie sticks are out.
Selfie sticks are out.
Out. So how do you... So what do you do?
Angles.
Angles.
You must learn your angle.
Ah, yes. so now it's important to learn geometry.
Yeah.
That Pythagorean theorem that you thought was so silly.
It's coming in handy.
It's coming in handy. ABC. You're sitting there going, here, I'm gonna have to put it at my hypotenuse.
Yes.
Look at that. Who thought the geometry? I remember being a sophomore in high school saying, when am I ever going to use geometry?
I mean, I never liked geometry.
I hated person, geometry.
But I can find a good angle for a selfie.
Look at that. Well, you knew your Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah, I know that by heart. I'll never forget that.
What is the Pythagorean theorem? What is it?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Nice. Look at you.
Thank you. Haven't had math class since like.
Did you think today, man, when you walked in here,
that you would be recalling
the Pythagorean theorem?
No.
Very good for you.
Thank you.
So anyway, because it's going to be so great because you know there's going to be lines. I remember when once again I sound like in my day we didn't have any smartphones, but I mean when we used to wait out in line, we used to wait out in line for tickets to see a concert, and now we're waiting in line. To get a phone. Or as I said, that's not even a phone. It's a device. And we are willing, apparently, not only are we willing to wait in line for it, we are willing to pay $1,000. Because you know, even though they have the $699 and $700 phone, whatever, $799, the diehards, and not even the diehards, the diehards and the hipsters and I gotta be cool people, they're gonna pay $1,000. If you asked me, would you rather pay $1,000 for a smartphone, or would you rather spend $1,000 on a 3 or 4 day vacation somewhere, or to see, have VIP tickets to a concert or to a sporting event or something? At this point, and I understand, I'm older, but at this point, what I like to say, I like to collect experience rather than physical things. I'd rather collect the experiences than collect the stuff. And I know that may be a generational thing or that may be an age thing. And don't get me wrong, I've certainly collected my share of stuff. But as time goes on, I've realized that the experiences and the memories are actually worth more than the stuff. And to me, $1,000 for the iPhone, and I guess my main question is, okay, so now what? I mean, what's going to be too much for them to say, well, people won't spend that much, because they are now asking you to spend $1,000 on something that, aside from Casera's portrait lighting, I don't see as unbelievable, like, holy cow. Now we take things for granted too. I mean, there's this Siri. I mean, hey, this thing talks to you. It, as I said, it can guide you around if you're in your car. There's so many things that technology has just, through osmosis, we don't even realize how much it has just entered the fabric of our daily lives. So once again, I'm not poo-pooing technology. But wow, $1,000 for an iPhone. For basically a better charge, retinal recognition, a 5.8 screen, and portrait lighting. Thank you very much. Hit that little music, will you? And we're back here. I'm Elton Jim Toronto. at the helm here for the Captain Podtastic podcast here at WGNplus.com. And now we take a stroll into the Pop Culture Club with our pop culture guru-ess, Emily Armanetti. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
How are you doing? You had a cold last week, right?
No, I had a cold, and then I lost my voice like 3 weeks ago because you put the whammy on me. and so for 3 weeks, I've still been trying to get my voice back.
Well, you sound okay.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question for you before we jump in. We want to talk about the Emmys because the Emmys will actually have been on the day before that this podcast is posted. So it'll be fun to actually listen to see what we talked about, but we'll know how we did. So that's why I thought it would be good to do this this week. So we'll be talking about the Emmys, which is, of course, a very big pop culture kind of event. But very quickly, I wanted to ask you, $1,000 smartphone, the new iPhone X. Will an Emily Armanetti be getting that?
I mean, in 4 years, maybe I'll get the iPhone 10. I'm not really an early adopter. I mean, I don't even know which iPhone I have now. I think I have like a 6.
A 6?
6S.
You are so not trending.
I didn't know that existed.
You are so not trending. You are not trending. Oh, no. 6. I have a flip phone, and I'm cooler than you. And I'm cooler than you.
Yeah, you're so out of date. You're actually you're cool. In a retro way.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. I mean, I've got a new producer here today. Her name is Cassara, and I told her that, you know, in a couple of years, she's looking at me now like I'm a Tyrannosaurus Rex. she's looking around the studio. She's like, geez, I wonder if he can clip a fingernail. I could take it to the Field Museum and sell it to him as a relic. I have a dinosaur fingernail here.
Yeah.
But I guarantee.
What she could also do is steal your phone and take that. That's also a dinosaur relic.
I still believe that there will come a point when we will be so inundated with this that there will actually, it's just like the vinyl movement, I believe there will be a flip phone movement.
You could be right.
Yeah, because people are going to be...
Motorola will be super
right
about that, I bet, isn't it?
Exactly. But I guess my question to you is, I was talking to Cassara, she's in her early 20s, so, you know, she's full, you know, she's full bodied into the tech world. But I'm just thinking about you.
Yeah.
Would you spend $1,000 on a phone?
No, I mean, I wouldn't spend $1,000 on a phone.
Isn't $1,000 a lot of money?
I would rather spend $1,000 on a pair of shoes than on a phone.
Oh!
But I'm not saying that I would spend $1,000 on a pair of shoes. But
honest
I would
to
rather.
God. So in other words, if $1,000 fell out of the air.
Yeah.
Free money. Tax free. No strings. Not illegal. You didn't have to sell anything, your body, your children, nothing. Just $1,000.
Yeah.
The first place you would go is Jimmy Cho's.
Jimmy Choo?
Choo, is that what it is?
Yeah, I love Jimmy Choo.
I'm sure you do. For $1,000 a shoe? I'm sure that's the only place you could love.
I will tell you, I'm just saying I would be more likely to head to Jimmy Choo than the Apple Store.
Wow.
Having said that, you know, with smartphones, as you know, or as you have, you don't know.
I don't know, personally.
You may have heard that they can do a lot of stuff for people. So, like, you know, you are walking around with a computer in your pocket, and if you were buying a computer, you would spend $1,000 on a computer. So, you know.
But as I said earlier in the podcast,
you can do everything that you know that you can do. You know, you can send your friends messages, check your email, go on Facebook. I mean, I can set our house alarm. I can be sitting in Chicago and be like, oh, I forgot to turn the alarm on our house. I can set that from my smartphone. you know, I can send you $1,000 right now with like three clicks of a button.
Really?
App that we've discussed.
I'm still waiting for that.
You're getting $10. That's all I owe you.
Is that the Bitcoin?
You can use that to buy your next flip phone, though, because I think those only cost about $10 on eBay.
I got this for free.
Yeah, my point is you can do a lot of stuff with a smartphone. So, you know.
Well, that's my favorite.
I can sit in my backyard.
I understand. I'm not debating.
Spotify playlist.
I'm not debating the advantages of it. What I'm debating is, do you buy a new 55-inch TV every year?
No, but like I said, I'm not super into technology, and I'm definitely not an early adopter. So I don't rush out and buy a new phone every time Apple introduces one. No. I wait until something breaks on my phone, and then I get a new phone.
Okay.
Which I also think they kind of program these things to break.
Oh, there's no question about that.
And after a certain amount of time has passed, but like I'm not that into technology. Yeah. I don't.
But
I'm cool waiting until by the time that phone costs like a fraction of the price, then I'll end up getting it.
And isn't it ironic that we both, that's how we met, we both sort of grew up in, to some extent, and worked for a good period of time in the technology world.
Yeah, right.
And yet, I'm not anti technology, but maybe perhaps having worked in it behind the curtain, I know a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and so maybe I got a little burned out on it because I had to know all the megabits and shmegabits and all this other BS about it, and you know half those stories that people read about the internet in the, you know, mid to late 90s and early 2000s, you know, we had a hand in.
Right. Well, I think I also, like, exactly. And also, we also grew up in a world where none of this existed. So I think we're like, we have a foot in each world is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, we didn't have the internet. I didn't even have my first cell phone until I was like, I was right around the time I met you. I was, you know, like 23 years old or something.
Yeah. Were you 23 when we met?
No, I was a little bit older. Maybe like 25. Yeah. I think I was 25.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So,
Between you and Kasera, I feel like I'm like 700 years old.
But yeah.
Anyway. So let's talk Emmys here. Emmy, are these named after? Are these named after you?
Of course.
Do you have that comma chameleon thing there, Kasera? Because you, just to make this official.
Yeah.
There we go. Now it's the official Pop Culture Club. So, Emmys, 69th annual. So, first of all, are you looking forward to this? Where are you at? This is a big night for you. Is this your semi-Oscars?
Sure.
Yeah, this is kind of like, you know, the Oscars are the Super Bowl. The Emmys are kind of like the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So what show, before we go over some of the nominations and some of the major categories, overall, if you had to pick one or two shows from the past season, whether it was an existing show or a new show, what was the one that you were like, wow, I can't wait every week to watch this, even though, like most people, you don't watch a show when it's on, which drives me crazy, because there is no 10-day grace period to watch a show. Watch it when it's on. but if you were possible to wait and watch a show when it aired, what was the show, either existing or new, that you were like, wow, can't wait to see it?
This past year, I have to say it was Big Little Lies.
I'll tell you, I have to agree with you. That I know it was based on a book, and that was on, it was an HBO limited series with Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon, and Laura Dern, and I really like that. I wasn't addicted to it, but I could not. I was looking forward every week to that. I agree with you. Nice one. It was. I mean, it was one of those things where I had to admit that I watched it, or because you know.
I thought you were going to say you had to go to your friend's house to watch it because.
Well, I had to.
Have HBO anymore.
No, I have HBO. I was talking more about my masculinity.
Oh, good.
And admitting that I watched it because it is was
kind of. It's a lot of strong female characters on that show. I'm glad that you don't have to be a
No, I mean, hey, this is
your masculinity.
No, this is the age of female empowerment. Believe me.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I understand where I live.
You're on board.
I understand my place. You know,
right.
White guy, bottom of the list right now. I mean, you know,
right.
Middle-aged white guy. I have
middle-aged white guy.
Yeah, I have no advantages in life. Zero.
Not anymore, buddy.
No.
Had enough. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't have them. Just because somebody from the 40s had them, I wasn't born yet. So why am I being blamed?
You fell through the cracks.
Yeah. Oh, fell? Leaped. Pushed.
Pushed. Shoved.
Shoved is correct, right? But yeah, I will give you that. I think Big Little Lies was really good. I mean, I would have to say that one, and I really enjoyed Better Call Saul. I just think that is really one of the best shows. And in many ways, in some ways, I actually like it for what it is, actually a little better than Breaking Bad, of which the show of which it was born out of, and that's really saying something.
I actually totally agree with you about Better Call Saul, and I haven't even seen the entire last season. I watched the first few episodes, but that's where I'm at right now. But you know,
do you know that that show ended 5 months ago? What is the grace period there? 7 years?
I know, but I'm still watching Breaking Bad.
Oh!
I'm almost done with Breaking
Bad. Okay, I got news for you. He dies.
No, don't.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, because if you don't
find out that's true, you're in big trouble.
You don't know the end of Breaking Bad?
No.
Did you see the last Cheers?
I do know the end of The Sopranos, and I'll tell you right now, he dies.
No, he doesn't. Did you see the last Cheers? Did you see the last Frasier?
Yes, actually, I did see those.
Yeah, that was on 10 years ago.
I
see the last Seinfeld?
Yes, I watched the last time.
My God. Oh, I mean, there's not a spoiler alert on that one? No spoiler alert?
Before the DVR existed.
Yeah.
I had to record it with my VCR.
Yeah, there's a 20-year spoiler alert on Seinfeld.
Right.
Jeez. So, I mean, I'm not going to ask you. You haven't seen the end of Game of Thrones, right?
Well, you know, I don't even watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. So, well, what about...
Tell me all the spoilers you want.
Okay, and you haven't seen, I'm sure you haven't seen the new Twin Peaks end.
Well, you know that, because you just talked to me about it last
week. Well, I thought that you may have watched it this week.
I'm still not at the end.
Hey, I got news for you.
Probably one episode further.
Yeah, look, you know what? The Twin Peaks finale, you could watch the finale now, even if you haven't seen it, because it won't make a difference.
It won't make a difference.
Yeah.
That's good. Actually, that maybe I will just jump right in, because you're right. That probably won't make a difference.
Yeah,
but I do agree with you, back to the point, that I actually do think that Better Call Saul, and I like Breaking Bad, but I think Better Call Saul is even better.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they've done a great job. Bob Odenkirk, who's actually from the Chicago area, has just really created a great character, and the writing is they've done a great job of both taking the story into its own and creating its own pacing and its own storytelling and its own, you know, storyline and its own mythology. And at the same time, they've done a nice job of just touching on the past, on Breaking Bad, and bringing in some characters, even though it's kind of like a prequel to the original show. It's just well done on all fronts. Well directed, all the episodes, all very well written, and all very well acted. So I'm really impressed by that. So now the big news about the Emmy Awards. First of all, what's interesting about this season is because Game of Thrones took longer to produce the new season. Game of Thrones was not eligible for the Emmys. So
yeah,
that does...
That opens up a lot of spots.
So that does open a lot of spots, and I'm looking at some of the nominees here, and it's really amazing once again, and I think that this should stop being even something to make note of anymore. But it is for someone, you know, as you look at this, who's used to... the usual Emmy kind of nominations, it is just baffling and just not, well, not so much baffling, but it's just impressive, I guess, of how many non-network shows and how many streaming services, forget even network and not even cable, but now streaming services have nominees. The entire landscape of television watching has really changed over the last, it's only been 5 or 6 years where it's really kicked in like this, to the point where you're seeing the some of the best things are a combination of cable and streaming where the networks aren't even in it.
Right.
Yeah. So let's look at...
Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So let's look at... We are going to talk about the limited series because that's where your Big Little Lies was in, and you were saying how that's actually one of the better categories, was the limited series, not even the ones that are on every week, but actually just these kind of short bursts, which a lot of these programs are, you know, 8 to 10 episodes of episodic television, either limited runs, one-time things, or they, you know, sometimes they get picked up for another season. But sometimes they're just these, you know, kind of self-contained shows. So we will talk about that. But let's do some of the major categories, because that's what everybody will be talking about. As I said, we can then see how we did. So, best comedy series. Let's start with that one before we go with drama series. Let's start with comedy series. The nominees are Atlanta on FX, Blackish on ABC, Master of None on Netflix, Modern Family on ABC, Silicon Valley on HBO, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix, and Veep on HBO. So, what do you think is going to win?
Well, I have to say, though, I love Master of None, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Blackish. I think they're all three of those are great shows, but I think this is going to go to Veep.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Now, they just announced that next season, Veep will be ending.
Mm-hmm.
They just announced that, and I'll tell you, I have to say that probably I never saw that show Atlanta. I know it got a lot of critical praise. And because I don't have Netflix, I didn't see Master of None. Although, what's his name? How do you say his name? Azar?
Oh, Aziz Ansari.
God bless you. I just did that for the joke. everybody's talking about him in that show and how great it is in terms of the writing and the acting. So, you know, what I'm thinking, too, is, you know, Veep is obviously the favorite there out of all those shows, and there's quite a few. I would say, though, Blackish does have a lot of fans of it, and that might be an outside. I think Modern Family has had its day. Silicon Valley is another one that I thought it was a good season. It wasn't a great season, but there's a lot of people that really like that show. Veep is the obvious one. I have to say, the one thing about Veep that I'm impressed about is that show has actually gotten, with time, it's actually gotten a little better and even a little more angry and sarcastic. Usually a show over time will lose its bite. But Veep now is more cutting and more vulgar than it ever was.
Well, I watched the first couple of seasons and I thought it was funny, but it didn't really keep me hooked. I mean, I kind of
really
after a while, like, yeah.
I've never
seen the appeal.
Wow, but you still think it'll win. Yeah. But if you had your choice, what should win then?
Oh, this is a tough one because, like I said, I mean, Master of None, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Blackish are all very good, and I love them all. Maybe I would say Master of None because I think it's, you know, Aziz Ansari is a stand-up comedian. That's kind of where he got his start. But then, of course, he was on, like, Parks and Rec. And this show is, you know, he created this show. He co-writes it. And it's so funny, but it also has a lot of heart. And I think that that is something that should be rewarded when award season comes around. So I guess that would be, I mean, in my ideal world, Master of None would be recognized.
I think... I actually don't think you're far off. I think we're at a point now where there is a little Veep, you know, people are a little sick of it, because it always is winning. And so I think we're in for an upset. And I would not be surprised if either Black-ish or Master of None or Silicon Valley wins that. I think those three sort of have a buzz. I know Atlanta has a lot of hipster buzz, but I don't know how many people have actually seen it. But there's no doubt that Black-ish has really, evolved into a show that's both funny as well as kind of poignant at times. And Master of None has become, that's kind of the cool show. And as I said, I think Silicon Valley also has that kind of hipster, buzz to it. And it, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a, even though Veep would seem to be, I don't think you're far off base. You might get your wish.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So we'll know by the time we're listening.
Yes, we will. So now the drama series is going to be interesting. We've got Better Call Saul on AMC. We've got The Crown on Netflix, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, House of Cards on Netflix, Stranger Things on Netflix, This Is Life on NBC, and Westworld on HBO. How amazing is it? Out of the best drama series, only one network show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the networks should be getting really nervous about this.
Yeah.
They probably already are.
Yeah. So now this, to me, is a really good category. So where do you go with this one?
Well, like you said, this is a strong category. This Is Us is, I think, the only network show, right, on here. It is very popular show, but I am actually thinking The Handmaid's Tale is going to get it. I haven't watched it yet, but it's getting so much buzz.
Well, why should you? It's only over.
You know what? Well, I don't subscribe to Hulu, but I just might to watch it.
Wow.
I'll even binge watch it this weekend before the awards, because I tell you what, it is getting so much buzz.
And now, what is that about? Explain to the folks what Handmaid's Tale, because a lot of people may not have seen it because it's on Hulu.
I didn't read the book, but it's based on a Margaret Atwood book. And
with Elizabeth Moss, who was from West Wing.
Right, Elizabeth Moss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, like I said,
getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, that has huge.
Elizabeth Moss from West Wing.
That's how I remember her, as Zoe.
Well, she was also more recently in Mad Men.
I understand that, but I'm old school. I remember her as Zoe from West Wing.
Right, yeah.
From the 90s.
She doesn't seem to be, she seems to be making all the right career moves. I mean, she's had, since Mad Men, she's been Top of the Lake. That's been really popular. There's another season of that, starring her and Nicole Kidman. I think it's coming out, if it's not.
No, it's done. It just finished yesterday. I saw it already.
Okay,
so you wouldn't have watched it because it was on, but I watched it because it was on.
Right.
See, I watch shows when they're on.
Right. Yeah. You have to. You don't have the technology not to.
No, I just have the interest.
I think the Handmaid's Tale has a very good shot at it.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a ton of buzz about that, but I would say I thought Better Call Saul had a great season. There's a lot of buzz about that. People, I think it's really coming to its own. I'm hearing a lot about it. I'm reading a lot about it. People are definitely impressed by Bob Odenkirk's portrayal. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Best Actor. So I wouldn't be surprised if Better Call Saul won. But now this is another one that I haven't seen that I would like to see, because I am somewhat of an Anglophile. I hear a lot of people talking about The Crown,
mm-hmm.
which is about Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
And that I would be interested. And I have to say, there's an outside chance. There was a lot of buzz about Westworld.
Well, you watched that, didn't you?
Yeah, now you didn't, because it was on. Right. I watched it.
That in like 5 years.
Yeah, Westworld was very good. It wasn't, there were moments when, you struggled with it. But some of the performances were so good, and the ending of the season was a good ending. And so there's a lot of talk about Westworld, too. I mean, certainly the hip network show of last season was This Is Us, because it's a very culturally diverse show with different lifestyles. And I know there was a lot of buzz about This Is Us. I did not see that. I did not watch that. But
very sentimental, too. I think people really
yeah.
It's one of those shows, kind of like how Parenthood, the TV show, was in like that. That's off the air now. But, you know, a lot of people kind of like that, like this kind of family.
But how do you not think that Stranger Things? I mean, everybody talked about Stranger Things.
Well, the first season of Stranger Things was a huge hit, and there was a lot of buzz about that. But I actually have not heard that much about it this time around.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know. So that's a tough category. I'm gonna say that boy, I think Handmaid's Tale is going to win just because there is a lot of buzz about it. That seems, and from what I understand, once again, I haven't seen it, but it is very, once again, very female empowerment.
That's so I hear. I'm
and so that
it.
May be the one, but if that's not the one, I would not be surprised if The Crown is an outside chance. I'd love to see Better Call Saul win it, though. That would be my kind of sentimental favorite.
Wait, you know, I have to say one thing about The Crown, because I think I have to correct you. You said Queen Victoria, but I think you meant Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Queen Elizabeth.
No,
I'm sorry.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But
yeah.
So the thing I think that, and the Crown is supposed to be very good, but I do wonder whether, like, at this point, I mean, I feel like that's well-covered territory, and I don't watch it, so maybe they do something, maybe they, you know, cover her life in a different way, but I don't know. That's my only reservation about The Crown.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But I would not be surprised. I mean, Handmaid's Tale seems to be the one, although that's a tough category. There's certainly cases to be made, as I said before, for Westworld and This Is Us and Stranger Things. I didn't hear too much buzz about House of Cards. I didn't see that season yet. And I think that's
lost a lot of steam.
It's lost some steam for me. The last couple of seasons were not. I really like Kevin Spacey. And I think Robin Wright is great in that, but I don't know. It's lost. The coolest thing about that show were the asides to the audience, you know, yeah. Breaking the fourth wall. And as the show went on, it became, there was less of that. And that was what made the show. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like more, it became more of a very conventional drama as the years have gone on, as opposed to what made it interesting initially, was the fact that Kevin Spacey broke the fourth wall and spoke to the audience and gave you an insight as to what he was talking about. And that's what made it cool. And as time went on, there was lesser and lesser of that. And so I sort of lost I lost a lot of my interest on that. Well, let's just jump to that limited series, because we don't have too much time here. Let's jump to the limited series category. And why don't you read those nominees?
Okay, so Outstanding Limited Series, Big Little Lies, which is HBO. Fargo, which I think, is that on FX?
Yes, it is.
Or Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Feud, Betty and Joan, which was also on FX. That's another sort of Ryan Murphy.
Right.
Over the World.
About Betty Davis and Joan Crawford.
Right, exactly. Genius, I don't know this one. What? I don't even know what.
I think that was with Jeffrey Rush. That was about Albert Einstein.
Okay, is this on cable? Is it on?
No, it was on one. I'm not sure. It was one of the stations. It was on HBO. It was on. Okay. It was somewhere where I could get it.
We'll have to Google. Yeah, somewhere where you could get it. Must have been cable. And then The Night Of, which I think that was
HBO. That was HBO.
That's because my dad watched it.
Yeah, that was really good.
It was on Netflix.
No, that was really good. In fact, The Night Of was, interestingly, was supposed to be a James Gandolfini vehicle.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the star of that, his first post, Sopranos series, once again back on HBO, and sadly he passed away two or three years ago, and then John Turturro stepped in to the role that James Gandolfini was going to play, and to his credit, John Turturro was nominated for an Emmy. So he certainly, I'm sure, played it differently than James Gandolfini would have, because they're two different actors. But interestingly enough, the show was not only nominated for an Emmy, but John Turturro stepping into some big shoes of James Gandolfini, even though James Gandolfini never played the role, but certainly, that's a hats off to him. So I would assume that Big Little Lies is going to be your choice.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's, well, I actually think that it's a two-horse race between Big Little Lies and Feud. I think they were both really great shows. And I have to say, you mentioned The Night Of, and you talked about the history there, and that actually is supposed to be very good, too. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, it was very good.
Ultimately, I think Big Little Lies gets it. I mean, there's a lot of star power here. The series was very compelling. It was well done. It was well acted. You know, you've got the audience begging for a second season. And, you know, as we discussed, this is based on a book. And so that source material is totally self-contained. So I don't even know what they would do with these characters
right.
for a second season.
Right.
You know, but people still just want more of it. So.
Yeah. No, that was a good, it was an interesting story about kind of a murder in a very small California town where everybody knows one another, everybody's in their business, kind of high-powered. Interesting, you know, good characters, great acting, very good writing. As I said, Night Of was another kind of interesting limited run murder series, kind of a courtroom drama as well. There were some racial things in there because the lead character was a Muslim, so that certainly had some of it, you know, some poignancy in today's world too. But I have to say, as much as I think Big Little Lies was very compelling. And I thought Night Of was. Now, what are some of the other? I mean, I loved Fargo was a great season.
Yeah, Fargo
was a great season. Show. And Evan McGregor played a great role. There were some really amazing performances in that. Read those again. Read those nominees again. Because there Big Little Lies, excellent.
Right. Fargo.
Excellent.
Okay. Feud, Betty and Jones.
Okay. Excellent.
Genius.
Never saw it.
And The Night Of.
And Night Of. Excellent. I'll tell you, that is one of the better categories. Fargo was great. Night Of was great. As you said, Big Little Lies is great. But I'll tell you, Ryan Murphy owns Hollywood right now between, you know, the O.J. Simpson.
People versus
O.J. Simpson last year, which was a runaway winner. And then, you know, he's got American Horror Story. And this one, even though, in my view, you know, the Betty Davis and Joan thing was a little campy, but that's why we like it.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
And
it had to be, because that's the whole thing about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis. That's why they're gay icons, because they were campy.
Right.
So I understand that. And I just think that I don't know if we're still at a Ryan Murphy, if we're tired of him yet or not.
I don't think so, because I'll tell you right now, I read that there's going to be a second season of Feud, which is going to focus on Charles and Diana.
Right.
And, you know, he's got more of the kind of American crime story series coming out. You know, the first one was O.J. Simpson. The next one's going to be Versace. And I think they even know that the third one will be Katrina.
Oh, wow.
They focused on Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot more Ryan Murphy to come. I mean, these shows have been such hits. And then, of course, there's American Horror Story. And he's kind of into this whole anthology idea where he brings back a series every,
right.
you know, for another season. But it's a completely different topic he's covering.
Well, I like to play. I think all of these award shows at the end of the day are very political, and I don't mean that in politics. I just mean the way they work behind the scenes. And so I really think because, and once again, I'm not trying to be, you know, sexist here, but we are in an age of female empowerment. There's no question about that, and that comes to the forefront. So you have to keep that in mind. Big Little Lies was driven by female characters. It was about female characters and some of the, you know, biggest actresses, you know, Academy Award winners, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman. So no question about that. Laura Dern, a lot of other people in that. So I think it's between that and I think it's between Feud because of Ryan Murphy plus two strong women characters and as well as two very popular women actresses who are a little older, and so they are viewed as, you know, they are now looked at as kind of idolized by the younger generation of female actresses, Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange. And so I think, even though I think Big Little Lies was better, I think that you're going to see a lot of Feud, the Betty Davis and Joan Crawford series. I think it's going to be a big winner because I think Ryan Murphy is still on a run. And that topic is too perfect because, once again, the people that vote on this, don't forget, are people in the industry, in the Hollywood and TV industry. And there's a lot of women and there's a lot of gays that are powerful now. And they love that whole, you know, Bette Davis, Joan Crawford thing.
And, oh, yeah.
And so there's a big voting block there. And so I really think that that feud cuts across both of those very influential voting blocks. So I'm going to actually say that Feud might win that one. But I would not be disappointed if Big Little Lies wins, because that one was really a really good show. So
yeah.
I'm with you on that. So we'll see.
Either one is a result, I think. I think they're both really good, and I'm rooting for both of them.
Yeah, me too. Well, we will see how we did, and there are certainly some other categories, but, you know, everybody's going to be talking about that, and as I said, by the time this airs, it'll be over. So it'll be interesting to see how we did on our little predictions and dissections of the race and the show. So once again, Emily, thank you so much for joining me, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, take care. Take care of that voice.
I know. I'm working on it. I have to start doing my vocal exercise.
Are the flowers I bought you, did they die? Did you throw them out finally?
No, they're starting to fade, but they have held up so well.
Very good. Well, I'm sure you're gonna iron them and put them in your scrapbook
next
anyway.
Next time you send me flowers, I would stick with the same florist.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're gonna iron them and put them in your scrapbook anyway, so they'll never be gone.
I'm getting ready to press them. That's actually what I'm doing this weekend.
Well, there you go.
Lead up to the Emmys.
All right. Take care, Emily.
Thanks, Jim.
Emily Armonetti here in the Pop Culture Club. Cassara, play that little going out music for me, would you? There we go. Well, you have been listening to another episode, number 70 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic, right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode posted up on WGNplus.com. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.